All right, so Matt, now Ashley and I are trying to get back in shape, you know, work out, all that stuff. And Ashley said that I need to start doing lunges. I mean, you know, that would be a huge step forward for me.
Good, good.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Man, I'm doing good.
Excellent. Excellent. So we'll say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. You can find a list of shows that we're happy to be associated with, and you can find some tips and tricks on podcasting. While you're on the internet, go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales. Sign up to become a patron. We've got multiple different levels. And our $10 a month patrons, they get the new side quest show that we're doing. And that has been fun. Matt.
Oh, yeah. It's a blast.
It's been so much fun. We've gotten a lot of people say they're enjoying it. You get to see a different side of me and Matt and our
right
families. Both of our significant others have been on there, Ashley and Amanda. And, you know, maybe one day we'll get the kids on. Who knows? But it's been fun. It's just kind of a different thing. But we also do a weekly bonus episode for all levels. And then the $5 and $10 a month, they get video, ad-free video versions of the show and ad-free audio versions of the show. So go over there, patreon.com/graveyardtales, and check it out if you're interested. Also, we want to say share the show. If you enjoy Graveyard Tales, if you're an avid Graveyard Tales fan or just kind of a Graveyard Tales fan, either way, if you don't hate our voices, then share the show.
Yeah.
Just
let somebody know.
Yeah. Either tell them personally or post it on your social media somewhere. Share an episode, share a post from us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Share the show. Let's bring more people into the graveyard and let's try to grow the graveyard.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of how we got started, was word of mouth. And so we're just asking that you open your mouth and spread the word.
Yep. Keep it going. As you know, we have big mouths. I know some of y'all have big mouths too. So put those big mouths to good use and share the show. Matt and I use our big mouths for a lot of stuff, and sharing the show is one of them. We try to tell a lot of people about it, but it helps when you guys do it more than when we do it. So yeah. Share the show, share a post, share something, share an episode. But Matt, that's all I've got for housekeeping. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
So in celebration of Adam's trip to Houston recently, we decided that we would find a haunted place in Houston, Texas. And apparently there's quite a few. But we settled on one that seemed fairly interesting. It got some pretty unique connections to American history. This is the Rice Hotel. I think it has been known as the Rice Hotel, the Rice Lofts. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe now it is just called the Rice. Mm. Apartment high rise, essentially, right in downtown Houston. We found some pretty interesting things, uniqueness about it. But it kind of follows that, trend that haunted hotels have of after some major renovations.
Yeah.
Stuff got stirred up and things started happening. People started reporting things. So, So we're going to go into some of that tonight. So, like I said, it's got some unique history. There was, Houston was a growing city when the Rice Hotel was originally built, and a lot of that plays into the story. So, Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of the Rice Hotel?
All right. So, as we always say, go check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. You can find where we found all the information. You can keep going, because there is a lot of history that we're not going to touch on, but that you can find if you're so inclined. Now, the Rice Hotel sits at 909 Texas Avenue in Houston, and you can spot it from a long ways away because it is an E-shaped building and has 17 stories. And when I say E-shaped, it's E-shaped. If you look down on it from the top,
it's shaped like an E.
It's shaped like a capital E because it has three different wings to it, and then the backs of them are connected. So it is an interesting shaped building, but you will know it right away when you see it. Now, John Kirby and Augustus Allen, they founded Houston in 1836, and they originally used a building on this property as the Capitol building for the Texas legislature.
Right, yeah.
So it's not the exact building that you see today, but it's in the same spot.
Yeah, the same property, right?
Same property. Now, they did that from 1837 to 1839. Then it moved, and then again from 1842 to 1845. So, a lot of people may not know, but Houston was the original capital of Texas. Before Austin, Houston was. So, John Kirby and Augustus Allen decided they were going to use this property. So this property, the history goes back a long ways. Mm-hmm. And that is why we can't touch on everything, is because we'd right. be here for days just going over the property, the history of the property here. Well, after the Capitol moved to Austin, Texas, they had to use this building for something. So they turned this building into a hotel. Now, the first hotel on the site was actually named the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Seems apropos.
Yeah, right. Why not?
Yeah. And it remained active for decades, but it was eventually demolished in 1881. Now, while this first hotel was in business, the last president of the Republic of Texas actually committed suicide in the building in 1858. So the Texas was a republic before it joined with the United States, and the president of the last president of the Republic of Texas actually committed suicide here on this property. So there, all the way back to then, there is stuff that you go, oh, that could cause a haunting.
Yeah, no kidding.
But, in 1881, there was a new hotel that was constructed on this site, and it operated for several decades, but then they built a brick modern structure on that place, and that was completed in 1913. Well, this third building is the one that actually remains on Texas Avenue today, and it's listed in the National Register of Historic Places. So, same property, three different buildings.
Yeah.
But
like we've talked about haunted places before, it may not necessarily be the building.
Exactly.
It's probably more likely to be the property itself, whether it's geological things going on with the property, or if it is maybe the history surrounding the land itself lends itself to having the energy to fuel a haunting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we've talked about places that were, I'm not going to say brand new, but, you know, when the building is less than 40 or 50 years old, you wouldn't really associate a building of that young age with being haunted.
Right. Right.
But if you built a brand new building on top of, you know, a Civil War battle site or a Native American burial ground, something like that, there's a chance that you're going to stir something up and your brand new building is going to have some undead tenants, you know?
Yep. Yep, exactly. Now, William Marsh Rice, he was a businessman. And he was the founder of Rice University there in Houston. He bought the property in 1886. Well, he maintained the hotel up until 1900 when he got murdered there.
Yeah.
So again,
we've had a suicide and a murder
mm-hmm.
all at this place so
right.
far.
Right. So crazy so far. Now,
and not only that, it's not a suicide of a jilted bride, you know,
right.
very vague, no names. It's not a Jane Doe body found in room, whatever. These are documented public figures.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
that committed suicide or were murdered, you know, on this property.
Yeah. Which I don't want to say cool. Like, I don't mean that, but yeah. I mean, it's neat that we have documentation of who it was.
Right.
Like actual, you know, we know it was the guy who founded Rice University, William Rice.
So it becomes, because we see so many of these places that have it's a story, and it sounds like a story, almost like a story that was developed after the haunting.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just go, there's a ghost that bops around up there. That's not as interesting as, you know, there was a bride who jumped off the ninth floor because her husband left her on her wedding night or, you know, something like that. But again, it's real vague. It's real generic. And we've heard a story like that at so many different places. It is refreshing to actually have a documented case where you have names and dates and, mm-hmm. you know, actual, we know that these are actual historical events
right,
that
right.
occurred.
Now, Rice Institute that he founded actually took over ownership after his murder, and they renamed the building the Rice Hotel in his honor. So that's how it got its name for the first time that we know now, the Rice. Now, the 5-story brick building had a wealth of foundational structural and plumbing issues, which made it unfit for sale. And due to this, Jesse Jones, famed Houston developer, worked out a deal with the Rice Institute and proceeded with plans for a new hotel. So that original Rice Hotel was demolished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to use the word I hate. It was razed to the ground.
Right.
And they built a brand new Rice Hotel there on that property, same spot, in 1912.
And, you know, looking into this, Jesse Jones was, he was an interesting fella, and he was instrumental in the financial success of the city of Houston.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, I read a story about him, essentially saving two banks, from going under within hours.
Yeah.
Of completely going under. And, you know, if you've ever wondered, you know, what happens when a bank fails, meaning, you know, they open their doors for business and they got no money to hand out. Yeah. Your money is still there on paper.
Right. Right.
But they just don't have it at that moment. That causes panic.
Mm-hmm. And
panic causes things like stock market crashes and the Great Depression. So
yep.
you never, ever want that to happen, especially at that time. And he pretty much single-handedly prevented it.
Yep. That's before the FDIC insured thing.
Correct. But I mean, you know, he was, I mean, he was more than just a well-known figure. I mean, he, you know, a lot of people credit him with, you know, saving the city at some point.
Yeah. Yep. So with his help, the Rice Hotel actually got a new life. And the new, quote, modern brick building that was completed in 1913, it was named the Rice Hotel, and it played a host to national conventions, presidents, astronauts, foreign dignitaries of all stripes, and it was known as Houston's Welcome to the World. So, again, Jones had a big hand in Houston's fame. By doing this, he made it a place that all of these people could come see Houston and stay, and you got more clientele with money that showed up to spend money in Houston, which then in turn helped Houston out. Now, the hotel featured opulently appointed areas like a crystal ballroom. They had an empire room, a flag room, and a roof garden that were well known to the city socialites, and they were introduced to out-of-town guests with fervor. You know, people were like, you have got to see this stuff at the Rice Hotel. Now, in 1925, the third wing was added, which that is what created the Rice Hotel's E-shape that mm-hmm. everybody knows yeah. today. And it makes it super recognizable, like I said. And it increased the number of rooms that it had to over 1,000 rooms. So think about that. In 1925, you've got a hotel with 1,000 rooms. That's pretty crazy for the time.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I don't know of, I mean, those are huge luxury hotels that have that many rooms now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, it was actually considered the largest building in Houston at the time, and it was the first air-conditioned public space that the city of Houston had. So you don't think about
stuff like
that.
Everybody wanted to go in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. Houston is humid. It rhymes with humid. And so you get an actual air-conditioned indoor space, there's going to be a lot of people coming to see it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we've talked about that before with other hotels and stuff when they are the first ones to have air conditioning, or they're the first ones to have a pool in the city, or they're the first ones to yeah. have electric lighting in the city.
Right.
It becomes an attraction.
Yeah. Yeah. Because nobody else has that.
Right.
You know, you certainly don't have it in your home. And, you know, the idea of, you know, having, you know, gas heat in every room, or like you said, electric lights, mm-hmm. you know, flip a switch and the lights come on. There was a time where that was just unheard of.
Right. Right. Now the Rice Hotel closed its doors again in 1977. It remained vacant for more than 20 years before it was turned into apartments by developer Randall Davis and the Atlanta based Post Properties. Post Properties did a $27.5 million renovation to the property and restored it to the 1913 era structure. You know, the glory that it had during the 1913 era. And then in 1998, the building reopened as the Rice, featuring high-end luxury lofts. So it went from a hotel and now it's lofts. And like Matt said in the beginning, now they just call it the Rice.
Yeah.
Now, I thought this was interesting, just a little tidbit that didn't fit in with the rest of it. But JFK actually liked visiting the Rice Hotel. He attended a gala at the Rice the day before his assassination.
Mm-hmm.
So he was at the Rice there with his people, and apparently he liked stiff back chairs. So the hotel manager had to find a stiff back wooden chair and put it in the presidential suite for him while he was there. and they have redone that presidential suite and gotten that stiff back chair back in there. So you can see the chair that Kennedy had.
How do they know that that's the one?
I don't know.
Kennedy sat here.
Yeah. Kennedy's ass was here.
He may have bounced a fart off of this chair.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's possible. And you can sit where he crop dusted this chair. Now, I mentioned the Crystal Ballroom. The Crystal Ballroom is 7,000 square feet, and it's completely restored with details including the woodwork, casted plaster ornamentation, and original oil murals. More than $1 million was spent on the renovation of this room, and it's available to residents and outside guests for special events. So even though this is lofts, you can rent the ballroom at the Rice. Or if you got the money, you can do it for graduations or, you know, galas or whatever.
Yeah, weddings and whatnot, I'm sure. Yeah.
Now, over the following decades, the building and the Crystal Ballroom played a part in a lot of important Houston events. Hosted a multitude of famous people, including six presidents, Benjamin Harrison, William Howard Taft, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Eleanor Roosevelt, Dwight D. and Mamie Eisenhower, and John and Jacqueline Kennedy, like I said. Some of the other celebrities that visited included Perry Como, Tommy Dorsey, Clark Gable, Mick Jagger, Liberace, Groucho Marx, Shirley Temple, Will Rogers, and Lawrence Welk. So a lot of people came through Houston.
Yep. They said, a one and a two. And it's my Lawrence Welk reference for anybody like that. Yeah, if you're not as old as me, you're like, who is Lawrence Welk?
Well, like we've said before,
and he's really before my time. I just remember being at my grandparents' house on a Sunday evening at like 6 p.m. and it's like, what's on TV? It's, what is this?
You know, yeah, right.
All the bubbles and stuff. No thanks.
Well, like we've said before, there'll be two people that get that reference. So
that's right. And those two people are my
super happy.
They are my kin.
So I found kind of a list of some interesting things that happened here. In 1928, the Democratic Convention bunked at the hotel and partied at night on the roof. In 1940, it became one of the first hotels in town to tout fluorescent lighting and plastic upholstery.
Plastic upholstery.
Yeah. It was the 40s. I mean, no, plastic upholstery was apparently something
plastic
cool.
Plastic was new. Yeah.
It was a hot new thing.
What else we can do with this plastic?
Yeah. Let's make upholstery.
Let's make furniture.
That'll be great. And then grandmas in the 80s covered their sofas in plastic. So
that's right.
You know, right. Full circle.
Don't hate.
Oh, I hated it. I stuck to it all the time. Now, in 1962, NASA's Astronaut Group 2 had its first meeting inside the hotel to plan the next decade of space travel. Among that group was Neil Armstrong, Jim Lovell, and Pete Conrad.
It's an impressive list right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in 1963, Jacqueline Kennedy, as First Lady, gave her only political speech at the Texas LULAC representatives in the Crystal Ballroom. So, her only presidential, speech, political speech, not presidential, but First Lady speech, was there in the Crystal Ballroom. In 1967, George H.W. Bush host an event for Vietnam servicemen at the Crystal Ballroom. In 77, new stringent fire codes caused it to be declared unsafe, and that's when it was closed by court order. So it wasn't really dilapidated, but the stringent fire code said it was dilapidated.
Well, and you got a building of that size, and at that time, fire codes were being updated. So to retrofit things like sprinkler systems and hardwired alarms and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm sure that was going to cost millions and millions of dollars, even at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think they looked at it and were like, "Hey, we just better close. You know, we can't do this. You know, and if we do, we're going to go completely belly up."
And as someone who has recently stayed in a large hotel in Houston, I'm glad they have stringent fire codes.
That's right.
I really am. Now, in 1997, like I said, it was converted into 312 apartments by developer Randall Davis and Post Properties. And then it reopened in 1998 as Post Rice Lofts. And then in 2014, it was sold to Crown Holdings Capital Partners of Dallas, who began renovations and then renamed it to The Rice. And now The Rice serves as residential apartment lofts in the heart of downtown Houston. So it's got a long storied history.
Right. And so buildings with that long storied history tend to hold on to some of that history.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been quite a few reportings of hauntings, and there's some frequent happenings that, you know, visitors and guests and even now residents have reported, just becoming almost commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
But Adam mentioned the Crystal Ballroom. So at the time when it was, the Rice Hotel, the reports were coming in from visitors and guests that someone or something was occupying the ballroom.
Hmm.
And a lot of people were reporting this ghostly couple dressed in old-fashioned clothing dancing on the ballroom floor.
Hmm.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, when the building was converted into lofts in 1997, the couple decided to move to the roof. And now the same couple is reported as dancing on the roof.
Really?
So, yeah, it was funny. So I was home today after I had gotten home from work, and my oldest was here, and she says, what are y'all going to talk about tonight? And so, I told her, you know, I said, this, you know, the Rice Hotel in Houston. And she was like, well, what's going on there? And she was interested because it was in Texas, and, you know, Amanda lived in Texas. Madison was born, in Texas. And I said, well, there's a ghostly couple that they see on the dance floor. And when they did renovations on the building, they moved to the roof. And she said, is that something that happens a lot? And I said, no.
No.
It is not something that happens really ever.
Yeah, very rare.
And so I was explaining to her, and I thought, well, I need to talk about this tonight. So when you look at this haunting in particular, you really think this is a stone tape haunting. You know, this is residual energy that you're almost like it's on a video loop.
Mm-hmm.
And you may be sensitive. Everything may line up just perfectly, and you may catch a glimpse of this couple dancing on the floor. They are unaware of you.
Right.
You know, they're unaware of anything else going on in the building. You know, they're not interacting with any of the humans. They're just kind of there. This is the same reason why we talk about spirits walking through walls, because maybe there wasn't a wall there when they lived in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there wasn't a staircase or a second floor. This is, you know, or maybe there was, and that's why now it feels like, you know, there's something flying around the roof. You know, we see it at night. But I say that because those type of hauntings don't move. Right. You build around them, you change the environment. It continues to play out.
Yeah.
Regardless of what structures you put there. So what in the devil would have caused this one to move?
It's so weird. It doesn't seem like something, like you said, this doesn't happen. This is something new.
Right.
And I don't understand what would, like, it's almost like they are intelligent.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And they're like, I don't like this area now that they renovated it. Let's go dance on the roof. But why would they do the same thing over and over again if it's an intelligent haunting?
I don't know. It's very strange. And it's not something that I can say I've come across. Mm-mm. Of a haunting like this actually changing location and then continuing on.
Yeah.
You know, an intelligent haunting, sure. You know, we see that happen. But not with something like this.
No.
And it says their dancing continues to this day. Occupants of the apartment building, they're regularly complaining of footsteps and loud noises coming from the roof.
Hmm.
So, you know, the couple's been seen up there. It continues over this very day. If you visit the Rice, you know, make sure you go to the roof and see if you can see the ghostly dancing couple.
Right.
Now, another thing that happens very frequently in the Rice is residents report these extreme cold spots, and they're found throughout the building. And just like the ghostly couple, they have a tendency to move around. Hmm. You know, some place that, you know, this isn't necessarily the cold spot that I remember. But then you walk through and you're like, God, why is it really, really cold right here? They're typically not in areas that a draft would occur, and it's much colder than what a draft would produce. And, the varied locations, again, that's really odd. And it might have something to do with how many changes that the building went through over the years. It had pieces added on. It stayed vacant for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Capitol building for a while. So you're going to have a different routine there. You know, it's going to be quiet at night. It's going to be bustling and moving during the day. You know, it becomes a hotel. It's going to be kind of active all the time.
Right.
And then it goes to an apartment building. So you're going to have a lot of activity in the morning. You're going to have a lot more activity in the afternoon and evening. And then you're going to have these quiet periods. So maybe the changes that occurred, that it somehow changed the energy. I don't know.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
Now, orbs are another thing that are very common occurrence at the Rice. And, you know, Adam and I have talked about orbs before. These are not what we typically think of when we think of orbs, because you take a photograph or you take a video and then you go back and you see these little things moving. They appear to be light, you know, most of the time. When you pick up on those, you didn't see them while you were there. You know, you didn't visualize these lights, but they show up on video, and that's because it's either a dust particle or something reflecting light, and it looks right. Very creepy on the video because you sure don't recall seeing anything like that. But really, truthfully, that's all it is. And that's what the majority of orbs get chalked up to. These you can see with the naked eye.
And that's a different animal altogether.
Exactly. You know, so an orb that you can actually witness. And in fact, they go so far as to call them floating lights and less orbs. And I think that's probably a better name for them.
Yeah.
You know, when you can see that kind of stuff with the naked eye, it begins, you start to think, you know, what is this? You know, mm-hmm. is this a spirit? You know, is this, you know, some kind of signal or sign. You know, it's just very strange. But again, that the strangeness and the uniqueness of these hauntings seems to be the consistent factor with the Rice.
Yeah, it does seem to have a different type of haunting than we've seen normally. Mm-hmm. Like the moving of the dancers, the floating lights, because there's not many places that we've investigated that inside have floating lights. Like we've talked about earth lights and Brown Mountain lights, the Marfa lights, but to have those inside, that seems really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It is weird. And another one, this seems more traditional. The apparition of Anson Jones that is seen wandering around the halls. And if you, Adam mentioned, Anson Jones was the last president of the Republic of Texas, and he committed suicide in the hotel in 1858.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's one of these documented cases. We know who Anson Jones was, you know, and we know information, you know, about his death being right there at the Rice Hotel. People that have seen Jones' apparition say that he has a very grim look on his face. Yeah, I mean, if he just killed himself, so he's going to look pretty grim. But,
yeah,
you know, you understand, you know, in 1858, you know, things just weren't all hunky-dory in right. Texas. You know, so being the president of the Republic of Texas, that was, and especially the last one, so you know what changes were occurring, that I'd have a grim look on my face too.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of stuff changing, and you just lost your position because Texas joined the United States, and now you don't have a position anymore. And
yeah. And even, you know, I would imagine it's even more than that. It, you know, you lost not just your position, but your power and your influence. You know, yeah. You become go from, you know, the president to just another guy.
Yeah, and some dude.
And now you're a citizen of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another ghost story that comes out of the Rice is that of a woman who died in the hotel and still haunts room 904. Now, according to the legend, this woman can be heard pacing the floors and crying at night.
Man, oh, she needs to hush.
Yeah, that seems more like other hotel hauntings that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. If I'm in a hotel trying to sleep and some ghost is pacing the floor and crying, I'm going to be angry.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to be. Yeah, I'm going to be, oh, cool, it's a haunting. But why does it have to be crying when I'm trying to sleep? Oh,
yeah,
my
that's right.
God.
Yeah.
Would you go to sleep and do it when I'm awake?
I got the crappy haunting.
Yeah.
You know? I got the haunting that doesn't let me sleep.
Yep.
You know?
Why didn't I get the South Pittsburgh haunting that likes to goose me?
That's
why did
right.
I get this one?
Now, there is another ghost that's rumored to haunt the apartment, and that is of a former employee named Charlie. Now, Charlie is in quotes, so it makes me think that Charlie is the name associated with the spirit and not necessarily the employee.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But Charlie is said to be responsible for a number of strange occurrences, like moving objects around and turning the lights on and off.
Hmm.
And doors opening and closing, you know, footsteps, all that stuff, you know, all the traditional stuff, it's going on there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Adam mentioned that John F. Kennedy attended a gala and stayed the night in the Rice Hotel on November 21st, 1963. And of course, we know that on November 22nd in Dallas, you know, he was assassinated.
Yep.
But some people say that his spirit still haunts the suite that he stayed in. And so many people that stay in the same room say they can feel a presence where he slept.
Hmm.
Now, those orbs,
I wonder what his presence feels like.
I don't know.
Maybe. Like, how would you know?
It feels very presidential.
Right, right, yeah. How would you know that, I'm in the presence of the ghost of John F. Kennedy? I don't know how you would differentiate that from any other spirit.
They keep hearing, not now, Marilyn. Jackie's in the bathroom.
Yeah, right.
That has got to be the worst accent. I don't know what that was, but I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize to myself and my family. That was horrid. But it was totally off the cuff. I did not plan on doing a John F. Kennedy impersonation, and it was absolutely terrible.
I apologize to my ancestors. I apologize to John F. Kennedy and his ancestors and family. And going to make you took the heat off me because I was going to make the joke about what does it have a real big toothy grin?
Yeah,
That's all I had was the giant JFK like grin that he had. But
now, guests have reported seeing orbs in and around the room. Those orbs that you could see with your naked eye, and the doorknobs constantly rattling.
Hmm.
They've also claimed that the bed in the former president's room will move about on its own. And there are at least a few reports of guests waking up with their sheets covered in blood.
Blood?
Blood.
I had another joke that I was going to make until you said blood. I was going to make about the bed moving on its own. That makes sense.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
The blood makes no sense. What?
None whatsoever.
What is up with that?
And I have to say, I read these stories about JFK. I've probably read a dozen or more from different articles and different sites talking about the Rice Hotel. Only one mentioned this about the blood, and I included it because that is way out there. That's not something that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen sheets pulled off beds. We've seen, you know, beds move, shake. We've seen depressions occur on the bed as if somebody is sitting or lying down. We've never seen the physical manifestation of blood.
Yeah.
I got to think that if you wake up in a hotel and you have a sheet covered in blood, somebody is going to want some answers. You know, me, number one.
Right. Right.
But if you go down to the hotel and go, I woke up, my sheets are covered in blood, I think there's some men in blue that are going to come and want to discuss this with you.
Right. Okay. Right.
So this may be the classic, if we're going to throw this in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Just a trope.
Yeah. So, but I was like, I've never heard this. Not when it wasn't associated with there was a dead body in the roof on the roof and it was seeping down into my crappy hotel room.
Yeah.
That's not this place, you know.
There's going to be extra fees that you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, the cleaning fee's a bitch when you stay there.
Because we were just in Houston, and Michael was drinking a Big Red in bed and spilled some Big Red on the pillowcase.
You're going
and
to jail.
And we're like, oh, crap. Yeah, we had to pull it off real quick and go wash it off because Ash is like, they are going to charge me for these sheets.
Yeah.
And you know they would. So got it, rinsed it off so it didn't stain. But if you wake up and there's blood stains all over your bed, you're not washing that out. And maybe somebody scratched themselves at night and didn't notice.
Right,
and
right.
Bled on the sheets and tried to blame it on some JFK's ghost. I don't know. Why would JFK's ghost be associated with blood in that hotel?
I don't know. Other than maybe it would be, you know, within the 24 hours that he died. They say he had an affinity for the Rice Hotel. I don't know. I think this one may be a stretch. Okay. This one may certainly be a stretch.
I think more than may, but
yeah. But you know, JFK's spirit is not the only ghost of a former president that haunts the Rice Hotel.
Right.
You know, the ghost of George H.W. Bush has also been witnessed there. Now, President Bush stayed in the hotel many times throughout his life. And a lot of people have claimed to have seen his apparition. They say they have seen the ghost of President Bush walking the halls of the hotel, and others have reported hearing strange noises coming from inside his former suite. Yeah. Again, why? He just stayed there a lot. He did not die there. He didn't die tragically. Right. Why his spirit would be hanging around that hotel, I just don't know.
Again, I ask this question. How do you know it's George H.W. Bush? Has it been that specific of a haunting? Have these people heard his voice or seen a good silhouette? Because if not, it could be any spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
absolutely.
I don't know.
Why, you know, I guess it's more fun to associate it with somebody like George Bush than just a random, but
true.
Now, as I said, the hotel has the the apartments, they have the regular type of paranormal activity that we've come to expect. Residents claim that strange noises can be heard within the walls, along with footsteps and disembodied voices, which are often heard coming from rooms that are known to be empty. A strange mist is frequently seen in photographs that was not visible at the time the picture was taken. And other residents will report a constant sensation of being watched or followed. And, you know what that feels like. You know, somebody's watching. Now, being followed, that is definitely a feeling that you get. You know, somebody is still behind me. And even some people have reported being touched, only to turn around and realize that they're completely alone. You know, so that's the kind of stuff that we expect to see.
Yeah.
Now, poking around and looking for additional ghost stories about the Rice Hotel, it took me to Reddit. And, you know, when I'm doing Reddit, every once in a while, something on Reddit will pop up, you know, while we're doing broad searches for things. But this popped up and it led me to just go directly to Reddit and start poking around and see what I could find. So Reddit user, it looks like RC Lebosky. They report that they live at the Rice currently. And in a post from just a couple of years back, they posted that the pool at the Rice is haunted.
That's a cool looking pool. I saw pictures of it.
Yeah.
It's fancy looking.
Now, in the post, RC Lebosky states that if you go to the pool between the hours of 2:30 and 4 a.m., it's a really different feeling there. Which I'm like, yeah, I bet. Now, he goes on to say, or they go on to say that the pool is located in the basement. So there's no windows or exterior light. Oddly enough, many of the reply posts ask how he's managing to get in because the pool at their apartment closes at 11 p.m. And I thought, you know what? If you're like me, if you've ever lived in a high-rise apartment with a pool, you know, you can get in. You know, it ain't no big thing. But that's what they were more interested in. I was like, you got to be kidding me. It's hilarious.
You got this guy talking about haunted stuff, and they're like, how'd you get into your pool? I can't get into my pool.
Right. And it's not even the same. It's not even the same building.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, it's this way at my place. Well, that's your place.
Yeah. Why?
You know,
that's apples to oranges here. What are you doing?
Well, my pool is on the roof, and you know, I'm like, it's, you know what? Just shut up.
That dude, that is Reddit for you.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
great.
Yeah. Yeah. But they don't really elaborate beyond reporting that the weird feeling you get while swimming alone, which I kind of think I'd get a weird feeling swimming alone at 3 o'clock in the morning anywhere. You know, it's not happening. I can tell you that, I'm not awake at 3 o'clock in the morning. If I am, there's a problem. Right. And if I'm awake at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm certainly not swimming.
No,
I can tell you that.
No. No.
But you know, it was like, well, that's kind of cool. You know, somebody had actually lived there, mm-hmm. you know, reporting that, yeah, there's some eerie spots. Now, I wanted to add this because I thought this was hilarious. So when you go to Reddit and you search something like the Rice Hotel haunted, you get that, but you also get some really weird things.
Of course.
It brought up a picture. Someone had made a miniature version of the Overlook Hotel from The Shining out of Rice Krispie treats. And let me tell you something, man, it is damn good. I mean, it is good. These it's colored. Okay.
Oh, wow.
It's got trees. It's got the little hedge maze, everything made out of Rice Krispie treats.
Well, you know, in Ashley and I watch some of these baking competitions.
Yeah.
And they use a lot of that Rice Krispie treat.
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
to fill in different things. So that's kind of cool that somebody just said, I'm going to make this hotel out of Rice Krispie.
And one as iconic as, you know, the Overlook from the movie The Shining, or and I say the movie because that's where you get that image of what the Overlook looks like. I remember my sister telling me that they were traveling somewhere and she had been sleeping in the car. And when they pulled up, she woke up and looked, she was like, oh my God, are we staying at the Overlook? Cause that's what it looked like to her.
That's funny. Well, Matt, you talking about that? I brought two of these up here to eat earlier and I only ate one of them. Look what's on my desk.
Hey, there you go. See, synchronicity.
Rice Krispie treat.
That's right. So, you know, I know that we've got listeners, a ton of listeners in Texas, and we've got some in Houston. You probably know the Rice, and you've probably, you know, gone past it. You may have even stayed there at some point in time.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a story, or if you know someone that's got a story or someone that lives there, hey, let us know. We would love to hear more stories about the weird paranormal activity that goes on at the Rice in Houston. The best place to let us know about those things is in our Facebook group. It is a private group. We've got thousands of members. It's there so that you can share those personal experiences. You know, those weird things that happened at your house, or that crazy tale that your grandfather told while you were growing up. We want to hear it. And in our Facebook group, it's called The Graveyard. One of the best places to do that. And when you're done there, slide over to our website. It is graveyardpodcast.com. And on our website, you can listen to the show. You can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise, and you can become a patron. And thank you so much to everyone who has donated to the show. And we hope you're enjoying our brand new podcast, Side Quest. It is loads of fun. Adam talked about it at the top of the show. Go and check it out. So, I mean, we've not had one quite like this, you know.
No, this is interesting with
bloody
the hauntings are
visible orbs and dancing ghosts that move around.
Yeah, moving dancing ghosts.
Yeah,
I want to know where they move to next.
That's right. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.